California just raised the fast food minimum wage to $20, and the unintended consequences are playing out exactly as predicted. Hey, everybody, I'm Steve Green with Bill Whittle and Scott Ott, and this is Right Angle, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. Gentlemen, about those unintended consequences, those of us on the right tend to tell these really dry, not even stories. We talk about facts and figures and numbers and consequences and all that stuff, and it doesn't get to people. But thanks to my blogger friend going way back, Super Mexican, and local station Fox 26, we've got one of those stories. Workers showed up Monday morning and found out they were receiving their last paycheck that day. One employee, or former employee, I should say, Jason Boato, said that we had gotten a text in the group chat that we were shutting down, and I completely thought it was an April Fool's joke. The owner of the franchise, Lauren Wright, told Fox 26, I tried at the end to figure out a way to make it work with the $20 minimum wage. Last thing I ever wanted was to close down, but by Friday night, I knew I was most likely not going to be able to stay open. But, and this is the kicker, this is the part that really gets to me, she says, I didn't want to ruin their Easter Sunday. So she kept things running until Monday morning. Bill, man, as a white Christian small business owner, Lauren Wright was pretty much begging for Sacramento to put her out of business, wasn't she?
Yeah, and she wasn't targeted. Not that there aren't, I mean, you have to bake the cake, right? Yeah. But this is rich liberals making policies that they think sounds good to people to get them to vote for them that cause nothing but misery and pain. And I am genuinely furious about this kind of thing. The simplest way to defeat the minimum wage argument is to simply say, well, what do you want? That we want a $15 an hour minimum wage, and the simplest answer is, well, why not $100 an hour minimum wage, and just let that sit for a while. And what you will hear is when you run into one of these $15 an hour minimum wage people, they'll say, well, that's ridiculous. They could never afford that. And then I say, okay, so we can at least come to the understanding that it is possible to charge so much for your labor that the business can no longer stay in business, right? We could agree on that. Otherwise, why not have a $1,000 an hour minimum wage? I mean, that way everybody would be making $1,000 an hour. If we made $1,000 an hour minimum wage, think about all these poor people who work in minimum wage jobs. All of a sudden, they'd be making $300,000-$400,000. You can convince people when you talk to them about this that paying $1,000 an hour to a McDonald's employee is overpaying them. And once you've got them there, you've got them. And then it's like that old saw. It's a great line, It's like I don't even remember who it was. It was probably somebody like Noel Coward or whatever. He's talking to this woman and he says, "Would you sleep with me for 10,000 pounds?" And she said, "Never. What kind of girl do you think I am?" And he said, "Well, we already. Would you sleep with me for 10 pounds?" She said, "Never. What about 10,000 pounds?" She said, "Yes." "What kind of girl do you think I am?" "Well, we know what kind of girl you are. We're just trying to figure out a price." So when you get to the point where you can get people to admit that it is ridiculous to pay somebody $1,000 an hour to work at McDonald's, then you're on to the actual point, which is what can the business afford to pay? And this $20 an hour minimum wage rate raise, Steve, was that from 15?
From 16, yeah.
Okay, so from 16 to 20. So the question is, why didn't this woman just reach into her giant underground vault full of jewels and money and just shovel more of it out to her employees? Why did she have to close the store? Or is it possible that the business owners are that their profit margins are so thin? I mean, when you own a business, you take out personal loans to make payroll. In this business as well, you take out personal loans to make payroll. This idea that you're just sitting there swimming in money is the essence of this lie that the left tells about business. That these people, everybody's rich. You own your business. Oh, and that same lie also filters down into things like shoplifting, right? Oh, well, if I take this hoodie or something, if I just steal the hoodie from Target, it's no big deal. Target's got billions of dollars. Target's not going to miss it until everybody starts taking hoodies. And then the store closes. Congratulations, now you don't have a store in your neighborhood. there was a, I saw this woman who was a, obviously an extremely left-wing person, this was about 3-4 months ago, lamenting the fact that Oakland, California no longer has any Starbucks, there are no longer any Walmarts, there's no more Targets, there's no more anything. And she can't understand why and thinks it's really unfair as she continues to vote to defund the police and to, you know, have you know, money-free bonds and bails and all the, I don't have to go through all this.
Yeah.
But yes, this is the consequences of rich white liberals looking out for the little guy, which means that saying something nice at their swanky cocktail party over a nice Chardonnay up in the Hollywood Hills and talking about how they voted for an increase in the minimum wage, that sounds great. You don't have to see the heartbroken faces, not only of the employees who don't work anymore, but of this woman. This was her livelihood. And obviously, for her to say, I've kept it going as long as I can, I mean, she's a really decent person. And yes, congratulations, Gavin. You've struck again.
Yeah.
Go have another $800 haircut.
Indeed. And Bill, just to give you one more example of what you were, one of the things you were just talking about, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Fisker Automotive, the EV company, EV car company, has been going out of business for a while now. And they just cut the price on one of their models. Well, all of their models, but the one that sticks in my head was they had this 60-some thousand-dollar car that they're now selling for $22,000. People, well, how can they afford to do that? Well, they can't long-term, but they've already spent the money to build this particular car. Now they need the cash flow so they can keep the lights on, so that they can make payroll. It's not a matter of making money at this point. It's a matter of staying in business long enough to where you can get to a point where maybe you can make money in the future. And when
are we going to get 30 cents on the dollar, or are we going to lose the whole dollar?
Exactly. And when it's not market conditions, but your state government doing these things to you, you can't get out of them.
Gavin Newsom is just an evil man. He knows. It's not like he doesn't know this, you know? It's not like he's unaware that this is the consequence of it.
Exactly. Scott, I want to get to the part that really broke my heart when I was reading this story. Monica Navarro, the young lady who is the assistant general manager at that Foster's Freeze. She says she started working there 3 years ago and worked her way up to assistant GM. She's also a full-time student there at Fresno State and was planning to keep that job until graduation, getting not just the education she was paying for at Fresno, but the more important education she was getting by working her way up from, you know, cashier to assistant general manager at this Foster's Freeze, and now that's been taken away from her. What do you tell her?
You know, like Bill pointed out, these are not some sort of theoretical discussions, or maybe it was you, Steve. It's like we're not engaged in conservative talking points. Stuff like this happens to real people and has consequences for real people. When you were saying, talking about how people, business owners taking out loans to cover payroll, I worked for a small business years ago, and I can remember on multiple occasions the owner of the business asking me if I could possibly take this bag and run down to the bank and get it in there before it closed, because if we didn't get it in there in time, we weren't going to be able to cover payroll. I can remember being sent out by this small business to our customers who were a little behind on their payments, most of whom were little retail shops and some like fast food type places. And I would go to them and say, hey, is there any way you can, you know, pay some of this, some of what you owe? And they would tell me the sad stories of how difficult it was for them to even stay in business. You know, and they were, and we were selling advertising at the time. So, you know, they could have been snarky and said, well, apparently your advertising doesn't do much good because I'm going out of business. But, you know, these are real people who had a dream that they would have a business, and they're working their butts off. And most of these people who were business owners, so-called, these are not fat cats sitting around on piles of money. These are people who are working themselves in the shop. You know, these, and I said to one of the guys one day who ran this this hoagie shop, I think it was called My Hero, and I said, you realize that if you're working here all the time, you make a minimum wage. And he said, no, it's not that much.
Which reminds me, I only heard this a couple years ago, but it's just so true. It's like an entrepreneur is somebody who walks away from a 40-hour-a-week job so he can work an 80-hour-a-week job. And that's exactly what it comes down to.
And if he's lucky, someday he'll make more than he was making minimum wage, just, you know,
yeah, someday.
Just making hoagies someday, yeah. And so, you know, what we when we have this great virtuous idea of saying, let's pass a bill to increase the mandatory minimum wage, what we're really saying is a number of things. It's, first of all, let's make food a lot more expensive for people who want to go out to eat. Number two, let's see if we can generate some more teen unemployment, because a lot of these kinds of jobs are starter jobs for kids who don't have the skills that
and
it takes
idleness.
To get others. Yeah, and let's create more teen idleness, you know, have kids just with nothing to do. You know, let's the idea when you take a job like this is not that you're going to raise a family on the kind of money that a teen working in the summer is earning. The idea is you will move through that as rapidly as you can, like this Ms. Navarro you talked about here, who will be able to move up and become a manager. The future in small businesses like that is management and then ownership. And, you know, Abraham Lincoln said this back in the mid-1800s, where basically, you know, you work for somebody else until you can afford to buy your own tools in the dream of working for yourself. And that's basically what these people are trying to do, establish a track record of reliability so somebody can see them. And I'll finish by saying I've done this on a number of occasions, but I was in a McDonald's one day in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and the kid behind the counter just looked miserable. And I said, what's the matter? And he goes, ugh, I'm working at McDonald's. And I, as if it was self-evident, you know. And I said, well, you know who comes to McDonald's? He goes, no, who? And I said, everyone. People who are poor, people who are rich, people who own companies, people who are looking for good, eager, hardworking people to team up with. Everyone comes to McDonald's. So you are not working at McDonald's as some sort of punishment. You are here auditioning for your next job. And if you see it that way, I think you can have a lot more fun.
Absolutely. Ed, you know, I can't stop thinking about Monica Ferraro or Navarro, excuse me, and this opportunity of hers that's been taken from her. You know, she was going to get out of college and not have to take a fast food job because she'd already worked her way up to assistant general manager, and she still has, you know, a year and a half of school left to go. And where is she going to work now?
She'll find work. She sounds like she's got a great attitude.
Yeah.
But the damage is done.
Yeah, it really is. You know, I'll just finish by saying this. I can't tell you, as I was researching this topic over the last few weeks as this law was beginning to come into effect, how many headlines and how many lead sentences and how many stories I said that the law would raise wages for 500,000 fast food employees. No. It raised the hourly wage for however many fast food employees are left after this takes effect. And those that remain will likely have their hours cut. You've seen plenty of stories about that, too. And then there are those who will never get hired because those jobs are going to get automated out of existence, thanks to Governor Gavin Newsom and the Democrats who run California. And that is your Right Angle on That, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. Thanks so much for watching, and we'll see you next time.